Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. You did just miss Brian Broaddus' Kentucky Derby breakdown. He's promising he's going to tweet some of his picks a little bit later on. He's at Brian Broaddus on Twitter. And we're looking for a winner. We need maybe a what is that called, a quinella box? And then the trifecta. Could he get us a trifecta box pick?
I'm going to give you three horses.
Thank you.
I will. I'll give you three.
The win, the place, the show.
There you go.
Do whatever we want with them after that.
Three horses for the same amount of pizzas that he has in his mouth right now.
Yes.
I was really grateful that Dawson was kind of talking, and I was hoping he would go right to you.
It's a lot of taste.
Zalata is really good pizza. The pepper, the crust, the pepperoni is incredible.
It is. The other thing that's incredible is Laker tears right now. They're freaking out over what Luka is, who Luka is as a player. Listen, it's fine. All it's going to take is 3, 4, 5 years of team building until you can assemble a cast of wing defenders and rim protectors that can allow Luka to do what he does best and insulate him on the defensive end. It's no problem.
Yeah, and by then he'll only be like 31 or something. Yeah.
Everything's going to be fine, Lakers. Okay, I guess if we can't have nice things, it's just nice knowing that they can't either,
yes.
At least for now. Here's the chief.
Yeah, I do just hate the idea that Nico feels like some semblance of a win with the way things finished there with the Lakers, at least for this season.
And J.J. Redick saying he's got to get in shape.
Yeah, that was loud.
That's got to be his ringtone right now if you're Nico.
Yeah, that's true, bro. Yeah, he was soaking all that in, appreciating every moment of it. Apparently LeBron had a bit of an MCL sprain. They're saying that even if they would have forced a game six or whatever, LeBron wouldn't even have played. He's going to be basically rehabbing for the next 6 weeks or whatever.
Wow.
So that's another thing. LeBron going limping into the offseason here. And Luka, of course, generally does. But that's the state of the Lakers right now.
I mean, look, we try to do it with Dorian Finney-Smith, too. Wasn't good. Right?
That's a good point.
Just go find a trade for P.J. Washington.
Bro, they put out Maxi Kleber. For the biggest part of their season.
It's the first time he'd played in months.
Kleber hadn't played in forever.
Yeah.
J.J. Redick, one of the single worst coaching performances in NBA history.
Yeah.
Year one in the books. At least he did make history. Now, don't worry, Broaddus. We'll get to the Delco defecator here in just a second. I know you've been pining for it since yesterday afternoon when the video broke. But this weekend.
Oh, there's video of it?
There's video. And it is graphic. But this weekend, pretty incredible sports schedule. We talked about the Derby. We'll get to the infield here in just a second because inside the infield at Churchill Downs, especially if we have the downpours that you were laying on us, wow, that's pretty incredible stuff.
Looks pretty messy there right now.
Derby, you got F1 Miami,
yeah.
Grand Prix, NBA playoff games. We got the Byron Nelson. We got
Texas Motor Speedway.
Texas Motor Speedway, Madrid Open Finals, UFC in Des Moines, and a bunch of Game 7s. Best two words in sports, all leading into a Cinco de Mayo Monday. I mean, this is going to be debaucherous.
It's a great time to be a sports fan. I just saw a Kentucky Derby preview up here, and it was raining, and some gal was in this really fancy, like, gown.
Yeah.
And it was just pouring all over her. She was, like, soaked.
She had the hat.
That's what's most synonymous with the Kentucky Derby is all these dresses, these big hats. Everybody's dressed
in the
nines. Well,
that's the Millionaire Rose.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take me into the general population of the infield.
Yes.
That's where things get real
messy,
buck wild.
Yeah.
And especially when, I think it's even better when you do have the downpours and the mud is just ridiculous.
Full on debauchery.
You have the Port-a-John gauntlet. That's where we start the proceedings, where guys are hammered, getting on top of a line of Port-a-Johns and they're running the roofs.
Is that Belmont? Do they do that at the Derby too?
It's Belmont.
Heathens.
Yeah.
Preakness.
Belmont.
Yeah, that's the Preakness where they run on top of the things and they throw like full cans of beer at you.
It's caught on. Like, people have loved it so much that it is now, you're seeing the Port-a-John gauntlet even at the Derby.
Wow.
Jeez.
That's how much this thing has
gone viral.
Taken the world by storm. And these dudes are just
not going to let the Preakness have all the fun.
Hammered. They're throwing beers at them, just all sorts of like shoes, chancletas, boom, as they're trying to run and make it to the finish line. So that's part of it. But you also have
these, the beer could cause a concussion.
They're doing this, be honest. Exactly.
Can I wear a helmet?
I know. These guys are nuts.
Idiots throwing full beers, man. You
full beers.
I mean, once you're hammered, it does sound fun.
Drinking them?
At 20 years old,
sure. Yeah, knowing that if I fall in between these porta potties, I'm going to be okay and definitely not break a leg.
Just landed on some mud.
Yeah.
But, look at the screen, bro.
Okay,
look. I pulled it up.
Yeah, look at that. That's some game footage right here.
Oh, there goes a beer.
He's already taken three to the dome.
Bam, bam, bam.
Oh. Of course, he's wearing a wife beater. Yeah.
Bro, it's like 88 beers in the air.
I'll tell you what. That's good ability right there. He's got
Kill shot.
Oh, he almost went over the fence.
Oh, he's got to go down. Yeah, get down.
He did not make it.
Yeah. Dude, he was
that was a long roll of them, too.
He was two Port-a-John roofs away from getting to the finish line.
See, these guys are smart. You let the first guy go through, and a lot of the cracked beers have been thrown. Now.
Oh, wait, you got a guy in front of you.
Somebody threw a whole box.
You got a guy in front of you here, though. If he's slowing down, push him. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Wow.
There you got to go.
Wow, that's very impressive. They're falling from 7 feet at that age and just landing while hammered.
He made it.
Wow, that guy made it.
He can tell about it. He can tell his kids.
Very few get to the finish line on the Port-a-John gauntlet there in the infield, but you also have, I mean, they're doing like mud wrestling. They're doing mud Oklahoma drills. Yeah. We see that. We think about spring break with that, but get that thing in the mud and get going. Then they do like the human, I think it's like human bowling. Where they set up.
Slide them in mud?
Yeah.
You get
just,
running.
Your body is the bowling ball. Yeah. And you just go mud slide into, I guess, a bunch of beers that they have stacked up.
Sounds amazing.
Like, that's the type of ridiculousness that is taking place in the infield while Tom Brady and all these other bigwigs are just rubbing elbows in the nicest outfits you've ever seen.
Your bougie teammate here.
I'd love that.
Would absolutely have his bow tie on, and I'm going nowhere near the mud deal.
I'll drag you in the mud with me.
No, I'm not.
After 18
that.
Beers, I think we could talk Mardi Gras Brian into it. I don't know about Flutie Tootie Bratis.
Yeah.
But how do you get traction to run along the mud for the human bowling would be my first question. Are we bringing cleats to this in preparation? Are we going
like
downhill?
A little bit downhill and maybe some slip and slide kind of
elements.
You know, yeah, with the grass and mud. And you're going, right before you get there, you're sliding right into the pens or whatever they stack as pens, I'm sure.
Reminds me of growing up playing soccer in the Pacific Northwest where it rained like 200 days a year.
How about that car ride home, though?
It's normal.
How about that car ride home with everybody's just drunker than all get out, but you're all muddy and just
concussed. You have scrapes and
you're bleeding from your
elbows.
Like, you have like
we're probably hitting the public showers, aren't we? Or we're getting hosed down or something. Hopefully,
I wonder.
Otherwise, you're riding in the back of the truck.
See, I never have noticed this because I've done this at NASCAR, like at the Texas Motor Speedway. I spent 4 days in the infield and never left. So, but we had a bus and we had shower and stuff like that. But I've never known it because the Kentucky Derby's a one-day sporting event. So I don't think they would have camping ability in there. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll need Will Chambers to.
Yeah, he's probably listening.
Will, just text in Will. Let us know if there's camping available at the Kentucky Derby.
Remember when Jack Harlow had some guys lift him up and carry him around the Kentucky Derby because it was muddy out there?
Yeah.
Didn't want to get his shoes dirty. Those guys got paid to walk around in their little Bruno Mollies in the mud, holding up Jack Harlow. You see me at the Kentucky Derby, honey?
Yeah, what a flex. Okay, a couple of stat of the days for you. No team in the NHL has played more playoff games since 2019 than the Stars.
Yeah.
93rd playoff game tomorrow night at the AAC. Yeah. These guys are battle-tested. I feel great about it. You also have how about the Minnesota Wild? Man, that would be one of the toughest teams to be a fan of, as you have
they can't win it.
The Wild being the first professional, like core four MLB, NBA, NFL, NHL history to make the playoffs 8 times in a 10-year span, but lose in the opening round every single time.
Yeah.
You have the Kings, second team, MLB, NBA, NFL, NHL history to be eliminated by the same opponent in the opening round of the playoffs 4 years in a row.
Edmonton, right?
Well, what an absolute disaster that would be to have to feel that. And you're like, wow, I guess we're kind of like the Bills Mafia here. We just have to own this.
Yeah. Let me take you in a journey of my personal sports hell. This was after 2000, where Kobe and Shaq, you know, eliminated the Trailblazers in Game 7 after you're up 16 points in the final minute of the third quarter. Brian Shaw banks in a three, makes it a 13-point game. Blazers open up the fourth quarter and don't make a field goal for the first 8 minutes. Ultimately, Kobe and Shaq win that Game 7. After being up 3-1, the Trailblazers came back to force the Game 7, had Game 7 in hand. But, okay, so that's over. And then the next year, you got to play them in the first round to get swept.
Oof. You know? So, that's now I understand so that, more.
That's what that brings up to me. You know, it was so galvanizing that I became kind of a Kings fan in hopes that Chris Webber, Vlade Divac, and those guys could take down the Lakers.
You just became a Laker hate watcher.
And then immediately had another Game 7, you know, crisis in that, you know, Kings-Lakers game. I think that was 2002. Well, yeah, Ralph Nader actually went to Congress and was like, I want to file an appeal on behalf of consumers for fraud as a result of what the referees put the Kings fans through.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Greg Popovich now stepping down with the Spurs. He's going to be in more of an executive role now.
Basketball operations guy?
Yeah. And obviously with the health issues and the age, it was only a matter of time. But that's certainly an unfortunate thing there for Spurs fans. But now Mike Tomlin is the longest tenured head coach in the four major North American sports.
It's a good run.
Is that 19 years?
19 years with the Steelers of Pittsburgh. And he's clinging on to the 500 or better. It's a heck of a run.
My guy in Baltimore, I think, is just a year behind.
Yeah, Harbaugh would be next.
They're kind of like the Cowboys curse where they're not ever rebuilding. They're just kind of making the playoffs. Mm. And I mean, but they smooth it out even with higher lows than the Cowboys, just never missing the playoffs. And I don't think they commit financially either as well. No. I think that's the other thing in common with them and Green Bay. And,
The Rooneys just don't. They're like the Maras. You know, they have no really extra money. The Maras and the Rooneys, they're like serving the government. You know, they're going to be ambassadors and places and stuff. They don't have any extra income like businesses and things like that they can draw from.
Yeah, and they just need a quarterback. I mean, they have a lot of the other sort of intangible things, being able to win without a quarterback for this long. But gosh, dude, you got to commit to going to get one. And I'm not talking about Kenny Pickett.
I couldn't imagine being a scout for the Steelers and starting out and working like 19 years and never having to worry about a real scheme change. You know, what they're trying to do. I mean, scheme-wise, it's the same type of players and stuff. That's just pretty standard.
Yeah. We have the Delco defecator, but we'll kick off Sounds of the Sports Day with that.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. 214, I hated that three from Sean Elliott as well, the Memorial Day miracle in the 99 playoffs, but Spurs were at least much more clearly the better team. They ended up sweeping in that conference finals before they won their first championship there with Tim Duncan. It's time now for your Sounds of the Sports Day. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And Jared Sandler's coming up here in about 20 minutes. We'll preview Rangers-Mariners, a huge series in the AL West. Just 1 month into the season, here's the Chief.
How about that? Blaine Crim said his parents drove 14 hours from Destin, Florida to be here tonight because they couldn't find a flight as he's getting the call up to the big leagues.
Oh, no.
Mom and dad driving 14 hours from Destin.
Beats of strength.
To make sure they're
in
the building.
Yes.
That is fantastic. What a great story.
Hope
cannot wait to watch
three
him.
Three home runs. Yeah. Nice.
I'm looking at 4 for 4.
Yeah.
All
please.
Jimmy Jacks.
Please.
Okay, so obviously Sounds of the Sports Day here. We got some good stuff for you, but I do want to pick up from the news dump, and this was really the biggest story in the dump. We just didn't get a chance to get to it. Sorry for burying the lead there, but here we are, Broadus. You've been waiting for it. Delco woman seen defecating on another car in road rage fit. This is in Filthy, of course. She just decided to, out of anger, drop her lunch off right there on the hood of what was like a 2011 Beamer. So let's go ahead and take it away, Fox 29 Filthy.
Well, talk about a crappy situation in Delco. By now, you've seen the video. It's splattered everywhere. The video, that is. Police charging the woman, they say, defecated on another driver's car. It's always awkward when news anchors have to say the word defecating, but here we are tonight. This is the 10 o'clock news. I'm Jason Martinez.
I'm Dawn Timoney. Police say it all started with a case of road rage that quickly escalated into a shocking scene. Our Chris O'Connell is live for us tonight in Prospect Park.
And Chris, the strange case has a lot of people asking a simple question. Why?
A strange case, to say the least, guys. In fact, so strange, many people thought this story was fake. But according to Prospect Park police, the Delco pooper is all too real, and she's under arrest tonight.
Can you tell us what happened?
The lady chased me. She chased me, and I asked her not to attack me.
That is 44-year-old Christina Solometto being put into a Prospect Park police car. But you may know her by this now viral video. Police say the Ridley Park mother is the woman seen getting out of her car and, yes, defecating on the hood of the car of another woman. She's seen getting right back into her black Nissan we saw parked outside of her home tonight.
They were both headed in the same direction. They both live not far from one another. And the woman in the dark color car thought the woman was following her, which was actually just going home.
So this lady must have some, I mean, beyond, like, the mental illness here is through the roof.
I think so.
She's fit for a straitjacket. Yeah. She's driving home, and she feels like this lady is tailing her and following
Might
her.
Might be paranoid a little bit.
She says she has a condition.
Yeah.
But because everybody was asking, how'd you make it just come out on command like that? And it shot out like snot. You see it?
Yeah. Oh, I saw it.
She's like, she has a condition because some reporter said, what did you eat today?
Pat's cheesesteak. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This is one of the most graphic and ridiculous stories and videos that you could ever see.
I mean, you'd have to be mentally ill to be comfortable doing that and then not wiping and just sitting down in a driver's seat and driving home.
It was pretty impressive.
Nuclear case of swamp ass waiting for you.
The fluidity in which she just stormed out of her vehicle, went there, pulled the skirt up, let it fly, and then skirt back up, walk right to the car. Like, I mean, that was definitely not her first time. She acted like she had been there before.
Yes. Yeah, and I would say an impressive amount of, I guess, RPM, horsepower. I don't know quite the
exit
right
velo.
Exit velo. And clearly getting her fiber.
It is
healthy diet.
Truly, truly.
I wonder if she's married. Like, how could you?
Yeah, that's like a mom. Like, what, she's 44 years old, dude.
Yeah, what if your bros are like, hey, saw the missus?
Oh, jeez.
Is or, that hey, divorce? I saw your mom when you get on the school bus the next morning? Are you kidding me, dude? Yeah. You don't come back from this.
No.
This is as jarring a story as you'll ever find. The fact that it came straight from Filthy makes all the sense in the world. And Godspeed to
She talked to the reporters on the way to jail. You want to hear it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hold on.
Can you tell us what happened?
The lady chased me. She chased me, and I asked her not to attack me.
What do you mean that day?
She chased you? I have a sickness.
Yeah.
You said she chased you?
Yeah.
Yeah, she chased me. And I got out and begged her to stop.
Nothing better to do? Listen to her side of the story.
That's like, mom.
Oh, she lives with her mom.
She said, what did you eat that day, bro?
Listen to her side of the story.
That's hard-hitting questions, bro. Because we want to know why it shot out like that, lady.
Yeah, yeah. But also,
on cue.
The sickness can only describe the nature of the two that she presented, but it doesn't describe like why you got out of the car and felt the need to drop that on the hood of a vehicle, one of your neighbor's vehicles.
Clearly, you got food poisoning, but what's going on with everything else?
Yeah, you have some gut health issues. Yeah,
clearly.
I mean, does she have road rage sickness? Possibly. I thought that might be.
At You're first, so pissed off, was... you get bubble guts. And...
What a terrible combo. You won't like me when I'm angry.
Yeah. Squirt, squirt.
Hulk splash, baby. Okay, here we go. Sounds of the sports day. How about this from Boston Globe's, what is his name again? Greg Bedard?
Oh,
this guy's credible.
Bob Ryan.
No, this is not Bob Ryan and his teeth. This is Greg Bedard, hey. And he's talking about Joe Milton. Yes, Broadus.
No, real quick, I'm looking out the window. If you're traveling north on 75,
you're in a world of trouble.
Yeah, just get if you're coming from downtown and you hear it, you're going through downtown and you're thinking about taking 75 north, don't do it. I mean, they've got that whole thing basically shut down with a fire truck blocking three lanes.
I mean, get a wrecker and get that 4Runner out of here.
That thing has been there for a while.
18-wheeler's gone now.
Yeah, but they're having some problems. But if you're coming, just an announcement looking out the window here real quick, you're coming north on 75 right before the Fitzhugh exit in there, just don't go somewhere else.
Go around. We'll drown in this traffic.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that, Eric.
No, that was
Greg Bedard. What's the guy?
That was educational.
Was this
Thank
the guy that
the
was doing
report.
The videos about the Cowboys were going to trade Micah?
No.
Okay, different guy.
Yeah, this is a different guy. This is a
we're gonna trade Dak.
Yeah. This is not Dak. Bruce Drennan from Ohio.
Bruce Drennan. Okay.
Oh,
yeah, Bruce
this
Drennan.
Is a credible journalist from the Boston Globe talking about Joe Milton, and we have to ask ourselves, now your new Cowboys backup quarterback, are we milt in or milt out after hearing this?
Joe Milton was and this is like direct quotes from somebody in the organization, not a good dude. Knowing your role, playing your role, you know, being part of a harmonious quarterback room, that was going to be an issue. And it wasn't about Drake May. It was just about the room.
So it's relatively vague. There's not a ton in the way of details, but sources from inside the Patriots are like, and that's part of the reason why I guess they're willing to just sell him away for a 5th-round pick.
Yes, I think... it's one of the toughest things, I think, in the NFL is how do I become the humble backup,
you know,
who's helping the starter? Like, hey, buddy, I saw this. I mean, I'm going to do that. It's like, dude, I believe in myself. I've been the beast since I was probably 5 or 6 years old in a football field. And now I got to, like, not be aggressive. I think most people do a great job of sort of settling in and thinking, okay, as a backup quarterback, I'm still going to get a good payday. You know, but I think Milton maybe had a little bit of success and was like, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And just how do you tell him no if he really believes in himself? You know, it's not, the opportunity is clearly not going to happen here. So we got to move on.
Yeah. And especially for that dynamic where it's with a young guy in Drake May, who you kind of feel like you're on the same playing field with. Obviously, May was picked much higher and is considered
a
much better
prospect. Your shoulder,
but
though.
You're like, hey, this guy, we're kind of equal. Now you get to Dallas and it's like, hey, Dak is obviously the franchise quarterback. He's the guy who's been around for a decade now, and that's the veteran presence in here. That's the face of the franchise. So maybe it's a sort of a different demeanor and a different dynamic that way. But definitely something to sort of monitor here, even though he's right there towards the top of the list of things I'm most excited to see when we get to Oxnard.
Oh, absolutely. Him and Ezra Raku, I think, probably at the top of my list. Obviously, Jaden Blue. But yeah, I you didn't give up a ton for him. It's worth a shot. But I guess I am at least mildly concerned, maybe a 3.5 or 4 out of 10. You know, one of the great things about the quarterback room for Dak is they've had a great camaraderie in there. You know, is Dak looking over his shoulder now at a guy that doesn't know when it's time to stop advocating for yourself?
Yeah, yeah. It's a fine line with the way you go about it there. But obviously Dak is going to handle things with the utmost respect and professionalism. So hopefully Joe Milton is not here to ruffle any feathers. But
y'all ain't got that camaraderie.
That's right. Thank you, Tyreek. Now we head to Charles Barkley throwback clip because we got game 7. And game 7 is what?
DeBoer time?
Yeah.
Well, those all qualify.
Oh, Cabo time.
Best two words.
Truth serum?
Best two words in sports.
Going fishing?
Two words
game 7,
you.
Right? Game 7.
Steve
game
Nash.
Golly. Sorry, that was a brain buster.
Did anybody
understand within ear's reach what the hell I was saying?
He was going for best two words in sports.
Oh, sorry.
Game 7 is what? No, but you all had, like, Family Feud style. You're on the board. Yeah. I was looking for best two words in sports.
Oh, and I said Cabo time, something like that. Yeah.
You guys were all in the ballpark, this was Charles Barkley from years ago with his two words.
Two words for you. Steve Nash and Chris Paul, must-see TV.
That's more than two words.
You didn't say two words. You said quick to the point.
You just said I got two words. Steve Nash and Chris Paul must see.
See, that's why I messed up, because I was trying to think of two words. I could have said that. Okay.
Two words.
Nash and Paul.
That's three words.
That's three words. Wait, I said Nash.
I got one.
Y'all gonna count and as a word.
Suddenly, and is not a word.
Charles Barkley, man, he's been incredible from day one. That's a big-time throwback clip right there, but it still stands the test of time. Now, last night we had, how about Jalen Brunson, dude? Jalen Brunson with a savage bucket.
Playing
an
incredible
game.
Yeah. 40. Game-winning 3. What else do you want from me?
It was so good that Jay Williams was on First Take today claiming that Jalen Brunson is the best player to ever wear a Knicks uniform, which is really, really stretching it there. It's a damn good take in the sense that it is extremely knee-jerk. But here was Mike Breen.
Dave DeBuscher, Bill Bradley.
How many bangs Willis do you think Reed, this called for?
Walt Frazier.
I would say 2.
Double bang.
Yeah.
That's standard.
Brunson holding. Knicks trying to wait till the end. Brunson puts up a 3. Bang! Bang! Jalen Brunson hits the 3 with 4.3 remaining. And the Pistons call timeout.
You know, it's not difficult to imagine, but you got Patrick Ewing, you know.
Patrick Ewing
and I was going through guys in the 70s when they actually won a championship with – I started going with –
Walt Frazier, Willis Reed. Bernard King.
Dave DeBuscher, Bill Bradley. They've had some
– they haven't had a GOAT candidate or anything close to it, but they have had some really good players.
Yeah.
Here is John Kruk with the final clip in Sounds of the Sports Day. He obviously on the broadcast last night, Philadelphia, and he tells a story about almost being arrested.
Did I ever tell you I almost got arrested in Oregon?
Doesn't surprise me, but no, you never told me.
Doesn't surprise me.
Last 10 games for Kepler, 11 hits, 2 home runs. What were you doing in Portland? Oh, playing minor league ball.
Yeah, rookie ball. I got arrested, handcuffed, put in the back of a cop car.
Was it a mistaken identity?
No, Tony Gwynn had a friend who was a cop out there, and he had me arrested. Scared to, I mean, I was up thinking like, man, I know I had a few beers last night. What the hell did I end up doing? You got a lot of bad thoughts when you're handcuffed in the back of a cop car.
I can imagine. There goes the runner. Pitch foul. It remains 3-2. How did this end, though? Did they take it downtown?
Well,
did they book
no,
you?
No. They never left the parking lot of the hotel. All I heard was Tony laughing. I'm like, that bastard.
Crocky with another legendary story.
Oh, I love John Kruk stories. Great stuff. Thank you, Chief. And yes, I can imagine. Rookie ball, you're thinking, am I going to get cut?
Oh, your whole life
My
is
My parents
flashing.
Are going to find out? Am I going to jail tonight? Am I going to miss the game? What the crap? That is a great place to drink, though, if you're ever in that that particular area.
Portland.
Yeah, right around that ballpark they used to play in. Now it's their soccer stadium, but it's just surrounded by bars. So it's like you take a mass transit into town, and then it's just, you know, that whole sort of urban bar scene around a sporting event, if you're into it, you know. Okay, Jared Sandler, speaking of sports, he's our Rangers insider pre- and post-game show host, play-by-play man, and Sands joins us next to preview Rangers-Mariners this weekend here on The Fan. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Jared Sandler joining us now from the Globe as the Rangers get set to host the Mariners for the first of three tonight, pregame at 6:30. Jared, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing, and a good evening, Sands. How the heck are you?
Guys, I'm great. Excited. This is a should be a fun series. You know, I know the rivalry with the Astros is obviously you know, more prominent and maybe felt more by the fan base at this time. But, I mean, these are the division leaders, and they're playing really good baseball, and a good opportunity for the Rangers to try and get back on track.
Do you feel in your baseball bones right now you can see the Rangers having success offensively and winning this series right now after losing four consecutive? Where are you drawing confidence from?
Well, I guess I'm drawing confidence from the fact that, you know, the guys pitching for the Rangers tonight, you know, Jack Leiter, thanks, Chris, and Patrick Corbin tomorrow, Jacob DeGrom Sunday, they're going to give him a chance. Now, the one thing, you know, with Jack Leiter, San Fran did a great job in that first inning of his last start of, you know, forcing him to throw strikes, and the Mariners walk, you know, are as patient as just about any team. But, you know, Patrick Corbin, he's not sexy, but he's given the team a chance to win. And obviously Jacob DeGrom is Jacob DeGrom. So, I feel good about it. Now, I think you're hoping to draw some inspiration from the offense, right? And, you know, at the end of the day, they got to prove it. But I do feel like just based on hearing Bruce Bochy's comments and talking to some guys that I don't want to say they felt like they hit rock bottom yesterday. But yesterday was, you know, was a tough one for them. I think they you know, they recognize that it hasn't been good, and yesterday was about as bad as it's maybe been. And, you know, who knows? Maybe a little, you know, new life with Blaine Crim will inject some energy. And it's not like they've got a tough or an easy test tonight with Brian Wu, but you're not going to have easy tests whenever you face the Mariners. So it's Wu, Castillo, and then Logan Evans is a good young pitcher for them. So, you know, they're gonna have to step up and just, you know, as we've talked about, be more disciplined, control the strike zone. And I don't know, the last thing I'll say, I'll shut up. Brian Wu's got one of the highest in-zone rates in all of baseball, which means that he throws strikes or pitches in the strike zone about as high percentage as anyone. And maybe that's going to be good for this ball club. Maybe, you know, that's the type of pitcher that against whom they'll benefit.
Look like for his career, he's given up some runs to the Rangers as well.
Yeah, and some that's weighted. His first his major league debut was against the Rangers, and they knocked him around a little bit. But yeah, I mean, they have had success against this guy. But, you know, I said this yesterday on the postgame show. I was talking to Murph and Dave Raymond, and, you know, I made a comment about, you know, facing a guy as good as Brian Wu, and you know, Murph was like, oh, you know, he basically gave an answer like, I don't know, is he really that good? You know, he's a good pitcher. Is he as good as you're suggesting? I think this guy's top 10 AL Cy Young, maybe even, you know, top five if he can stay healthy. But I think he is really, really good. But you're right. You know, the Rangers have had success against him, and they faced him already once this year. So maybe that will help them here facing him tonight.
Hey, Jared, with all the things that's kind of gone on with the hitting, and you guys live with that team, has it been hard to ask questions? And I don't mean it in, you're not asking tough questions, but do people look at you like, man, we don't have answers for what the hell's going on?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think, you know, it's always tough when you speak to individuals about a lineup because you're looking for lineup-wide answers, but it really is so individualized, right?
Sure.
But, you know, one of the things is that, you know, a lot of these guys have shared in the same overarching challenge, which is, you know, the ability or inability at times to control the strike zone. And, you know, the tough part with that is it's something I think we might have talked about it yesterday after the game. That's more so something you can improve upon incrementally than it is like a learned skill, right? Like, yeah, okay, Leody Taveras, we want you to bunt more. That's a skill he can go and learn, right? Mm. Leody Taveras, we want you to demonstrate more plate discipline and maybe get on base, you know, via the walk a little bit more to use your speed. I just don't know that, you know, that's an easy thing to just all of a sudden learn And so I think the key is going to be the incremental gains. But here's the other thing too, Broadus. For a team that has a lineup that, you know, coming into the year, they would tell you that even when this lineup was at its best, there'd be swing and miss. They're going to be aggressive, but they're going to hit a lot of home runs. And this team has not hit a home run in a full week.
Like
right?
The Dodgers, it, right?
Last home run was last Thursday. The Mariners are the opposite. The Mariners maybe don't hit for a super high average. They walk a lot and they hit a lot of home runs.
Yeah.
They're the third highest on base percentage in baseball, third highest home run per game rate, just to separate, you know, the fact that they maybe not played as many games as other teams. And so I think that's kind of what the Rangers would like to be on the power side. I don't know that they expect to be up there on the on-base side, but I think the hope is that, you know, they'd be up there in the top five in power. And maybe at the end of the year they will be, but right now they're, you know, they're far from it.
Talking with Jared Sandler here on The Fan, can you go ahead and empty out the Blaine Crim folder that you have? I'm sure you got all the nuggets. The story seems pretty amazing. Hello, the family's in town.
Did I lose you guys?
How's the glove? Oh, can you hear us?
You there, Jared?
I don't think he can hear us now.
He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter, and we have lost connection with him as they're out there at the Globe getting ready for the game tonight. You can hear the bats popping in the background there, getting some hitting done. I saw a story a couple of days ago. Jared, you back with us?
I'm back. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got
you. Yeah, what do we need to know about Crim? How's the glove?
He's a hitter. Now, he has gotten a lot better defensively, but he even said, I think you know, his philosophy has kind of been, hey, I'm a hitter, and if I hit, I'll get a chance. I don't think that he has a total disregard for the work at first base. And as much as Jake Berger, you know, has been trying to get into a rhythm offensively, he's been really good defensively. And it's one of those things where at first base, you know, it's you notice it when it's not there more so than when the defense is there. But he's worked hard. Blaine's worked really hard at first. You know, he's not your typical first baseman from, like, a size standpoint. You know, he's 5'10", and you know, he's not the most agile necessarily. He's not a guy that's going to steal 20 bases per se, but, you know, he is athletic, and I think that athleticism has allowed him to grow as a first baseman.
Jared, I read a story here today about how CY made it mandatory batting practice on Tuesday. Then they had the 15 runs. I was wondering if you could share with us more about that and if they're going to have more mandatory batting practices.
Yeah, I mean, you know, today or tonight, all those guys have been out taking batting practice. You know, guys who don't typically take batting practice on the field. I don't know how long that's going to last or you know, if he communicated, hey, let's do this for this week, and then we'll reassess. I'm not totally sure, but sometimes you just got to change it up, right? And I think, you know, whether it's a togetherness or just to make a change, right? I think sometimes in this sport, I know we don't like in general in life, like you make a change just for the sake of making a change. But I think sometimes in this sport, when you're struggling, you make a change just to make a change, and that helps break things up. And so, you know, that's obviously one of the things that they've started to do. They've been doing some work off the machine sometimes in batting practice instead of a live arm. Today it seems like it's a live arm. But, you know, they've been doing a lot of different things that we see, and I'm sure a ton of things that we don't see, to just try and change things up and get things going in the right direction. And I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully it works.
Where should this offense be ranked in Major League Baseball, Sands? Has it been quantified?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the expectation from – the front office, when they built this roster, they looked at it and probably thought this is a top five offense, right? And I would say, all right, you want to leave a little wiggle room there. This is definitely a top 10 offense, or that's, you know, that was the expectation, that was the hope. And it wasn't just coming internally. You look at all these, you know, forecast systems and projection models and all that, they supported that. And I think you ask people around the league, just, you know, the human element, what their thoughts were, and they would say, yeah, that's a really good lineup. I think, again, everyone acknowledged that there'd be some swing and miss, and maybe there'd be a little streakiness, but we're beyond, you know, a bad week, right? We're, you know, it's been more than that. And Chris Young, you know, spoke to us actually earlier today and said that, you know, it's maybe been a little bit lower than even the lows of last year, which was an underperforming lineup. So, you know, there's obvious frustration, but, you know, Chris Young made it clear that no one's given up on them. There's no reason for them internally to give up and make dire changes. You know, they felt like with Jake Berger, it was an opportunity for a guy who had an option available to go down and in a lower pressure environment try get right. Maybe they would do that with other guys if they had options, but they don't. So that was the decision with Jake. But I think they're still optimistic, even if the confidence right now, you're searching for it because it just the results haven't been there.
All things to go for Seager tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, he took some live BP again today. I think that's the plan, that he'll be activated tomorrow and hopefully, be injected in this lineup. And, when you add a guy like Corey Seager to the lineup, all of a sudden it provides a different look. And, hopefully he can come in and pick up where he left off, which was basically hitting every ball about 110 miles an hour. And maybe that's what they need. Maybe that's the missing link to just kind of set everything in place.
Appreciate you, Sands. Have a great weekend there, and we'll catch up with you, I guess, on Tuesday.
For you fellas, you guys well. Brosh, you get your Jackie pin?
I did. Thank
okay,
you very much.
Appreciate sure you got it.
No,
you
thanks
got
for
it.
Taking care of me.
You got it. See you, fellas.
Jared Sandler on Twitter, a must follow for Rangers fans. What you drinking? What you thinking? Coming up next at 877-881-1053. We'll tell you what we're drinking, thinking, and we'll take your phone calls next, the fan.